SafetyFM.com with Jay Allen. Changing safety cultures, one broadcast and one podcast at a time.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Safety FM with Jay Allen. I hope everything is good and grand inside of your neck of the woods as we are hanging out on this lovely Tuesday. Yeah, no doubt about that. Here we are. We're in April of 2024. How are you enjoying this? I'm going to tell you, right now where I'm located, it's kind of cold. And I'm not in Florida at the moment, so let's just make sure that we're clear as I do make this particular reference. So let's talk today because I have something for you, and we are coming from the Global Safety Innovation Summit that occurred in Wollongong. At least this episode is going to come to you from there. And if you sit back and take a listen today, this is a presentation that was done by John Wilkes. Now, this was good old Wollongong. I want you to sit back today, take a listen to exactly what is going on, because I think you're going to enjoy this one. So sit back and relax. I'll talk to you at the back end here. So take a listen right now here on Safety FM with Jay Allen.
Thank you. So just to start off, I'm an American. I'm not dumb. I'm a child of the 70s.
Ignorant is gullible.
Thank you. Which means I love Kool-Aid. So, and by the way, if nobody has said this to you, happy Valentine's Day. I love you all. And I particularly love my colleagues from the pharmaceutical industry who are here today. So please raise your hand. Are there really a couple of you? Oh, damn. You know, I'm now reflecting on the first thing we heard about not traveling alone. But seriously, being in the pharmaceutical industry, we don't face some of the same risks and challenges that you guys do from industrial accidents, things like that. But I can assure you that my industry can harm on an industrial scale. So let's think about that for a second. How can we do that? Well, we can have supply chain problems and manufacturing issues that result in critical drug shortages. Okay? Check that one off. Okay? How do you know you have a critical drug? Look in your medicine cabinet for the one with your name on it. Okay? We can have manufacturing issues that result in adulterated product going out on the market. Adulterated is a fancy regulatory word for can harm you, altered in some way. Okay, you can check that one off. We've had that one too. And then finally, the regulatory climate and our internal issues can create affordability crisis for patients. We've had that one too. When I was first exposed to these ideas, my takeaway was that this subject that we're talking about is much bigger than safety. Okay? And that's what really struck me. There's something that I can promise you 100% certainty. I'm not sure anyone's offered you this deal so far this week. All of you have been a patient, will be a patient, know a patient, or know someone who will be a patient at some point in their lives. This subject impacts each one of you deeply and personally. You should be thinking about this. And my industry has not done enough in this space to apply this thinking and these ideas. We're working on changing that. So I'd like to get started. I think this is forward. All right. Okay. So we're all in different places of your journey, okay? But at some point you started, right? You were gonna do this hop thing. And then they've asked you to lead it. okay? So now you're faced with this question of now what am I going to do? So in every sense of the phrase, making the decision to embrace the blue line and understand it is a critical decision. You can't go back. So there's a couple of quotes that I quite like. Okay, the standard you walk by is the standard you accept. And when I looked this one up and found it was an Aussie, I was like, wow, that's like pandering 101. So I'll take this one. Okay. To me, this is kind of a call to leadership, right? How can you see a condition today and find it unacceptable when that same condition existed last week and you walked right on by it? The other one that I quite like, in life you get what you tolerate, kind of maybe target some of the frontline folks, all right? If you see something, it's a problem, let's get engaged. Let's try to solve it. You see, something we heard yesterday from the legal folks, we have a duty to act. You can't unsee the blue line. Once you've taken that step, you're compelled to do something about it. Okay? That's pretty important. So my presentation title, something about governance and understanding the blue line. And, you know, when they gave me that title, first thing I thought was, I guess the presentation on taxation policy was already taken. So... I'll do the best I can with that. So I think I know what governance is. I think all of you probably know what governance is. But I looked it up anyways. The processes by which organizations are directed, controlled, and held to account. Interesting. It includes the authority, accountability, leadership, direction, and control exercise in an organization. This comes to you from governancetoday.com, which is further evidence that the internet has absolutely everything. And I've now added this site to my blacklist of things that I will never go to again. But there's a word in here that I think is very useful to us, and that's the word processes. We're talking about processes. All right, I know something about that. And then there was another word that I was kind of interested in, and we've heard this word a few times today, integration, integrate, okay? The making up or composition of a whole by adding together or combining separate parts or elements, okay? An integral whole, a making. So I think the challenge before us is really to effectively govern in the blue line. You've got to integrate this thinking across all of your systems. You can't do a little sprinkle here and a little sprinkle there. It's got to become a part of who you are. So I figured I would be compelled to tell you what good looks like. What does good integration look like? Okay. You know, I guess, what are these called? Carmelo koalas. Caramello koalas, all right? Dairy milk, milk chocolate, smooth flowing caramel. I understand that candy in Australia is called lollies. Is that correct? Okay, very good. In America, we call candy candy. And this one's quite popular in my neck of the woods. I'm quite fond of this one. And of course, you know, this one's been around. The idea here is that they're better together. Okay? By coming together, we have the ability to create something new that's better than what came before it. And that's what we need to be thinking with this integration idea of hop into our organizational systems. Okay, so your integration goals. You have to establish that this is the way we're going to do business. Okay? this is the way we're going to do business. Okay, you're making the hole better. You're creating a new hole. Okay. And most importantly, think about the language that you're using. All right. I'm so happy to see Adam here and his words create worlds. Purposely choose the word integrate over implementation. Okay. Why would we do that? Well, let's think about this for a second. If we say implementation, no matter how well your effort is going, what question are you going to hear more than any other? When? Maybe. Are we done yet? No, we're not. I got like 10 more slides. But that's exactly right. When are you done? When is this thing going to be done? But if we talk about the word integration and it's going well, what do you think the question changes to? Where do we go next? Where do we go next? All right, it's going well. And when we're asking where are we going next, we're creating a positive expectation. And in the poker land, positive expectation means you win in the long run. Okay? So words create worlds. Choose your words carefully. Okay, this is an eye test. I realize that. You'll get these slides. They told you that day one, so don't stress. Many of your processes in your organization are going to need to be reviewed and challenged for integration needs, right? So you've heard many of these already this week. Culture and change management, your incident management processes, rather obviously, quality management processes. We'll mention that in a few minutes. Risk management, open reporting, learning management, okay, yada, 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 all these systems, which is really an interesting way of saying HOP touches everything in your organization. It touches absolutely everything, and you have to look at it that way. So you can get started if you understand a few key things. Your organization's approach to continuous improvement. Okay, is it simple? Is it hard? Is it super formal? Can people just come up with things and new ideas and do them? What's your organization's approach to open reporting? How are you getting this information into your system so that you can potentially act on it? What's your organization's approach to commissioning new projects? Sometimes what we're learning creates new projects. How hard or easy is that? And then something I think that's underappreciated is, do you understand how your organization authorizes new work, right? Every one of you probably has a job description that defines your duties somewhere. What happens when those duties are changed? Okay, how does your organization approach new work? So each of your blue line discoveries will likely be impacted and need to be considered against, you know, these approaches. So I want to give you some quick stories, okay? We're going to talk about crab fishing and leaks, company values, hops, and ethics, and then what I call the valve story. So let's get to crab fishing and leaks. Okay, so considering the vast pharmaceutical manufacturing knowledge that we have in the room, I'm going to have to tell you what this is. So this is a sampling manifold that is connected to a large bioreactor. Okay, so when I say bioreactor, think like 10,000 liter beer keg. Okay, and we have to take samples off of this for quality testing. And all of these tubes are connected by this plastic connector here. Now, what's key about this process is that we have to maintain sterility in the line, okay? If the line gets exposed to the environment, there's a risk of contamination. Risk of contamination results in potentially adulterated product, which then cannot be sold. And so we were getting leaks in these connections at a frequency that was enough to be problematic. So what's a leak to a bioreactor sampling manifold mean? Well, depending where we are in the process, It's anywhere between a couple hundred thousand US dollars up to a million. That if this leak cannot be resolved, sends the product to the drain. Okay? It doesn't take many of these to get people's attention. Even though the scientists love to make arguments about the fact that a modal bacterium cannot swim upstream on a positive pressure gradient in a semi-viscous liquid, okay, the regulator is going to look at you and say, okay, but your product's been exposed to the environment. Too much risk. So it goes to the drain. So what do you think we did? Over the course of many years, lots of new notes, cautions, and warnings in the procedure about please make sure the connectors are tight, okay, awareness memos, okay, some people even got some disciplinary action because they weren't doing this right. When we started doing some of this hop thing, right, we had this idea, why don't we go talk to them? And so we asked, hey, what's hard about this particular job? I mean, you know, we're walking in there with this idea that, look, it's just it's a connection. How hard can this be, right? And so they started telling stories that these connections were really hard to fit together. They're designed to make an audible sound when they're fully seated. And almost to a person, they said, you know, when we seated it, I heard the noise. I thought it was fully seated, but it wasn't. Well, what do you guys need? What would help? So we've got to come up with some way to tell us they're not seated before we start putting liquid through them, okay? Because the only way you can tell if you have a leak in this current setup is to put liquid through it. And obviously, it's too late at that time. So we said, okay, let's go talk about it and figure out what we can do. That's one of those little connectors right there. So I was bored. And, you know, I came across this Deadliest Catch show. And what I observed was that when they would catch these crabs, they would put them against this gauge. And if it fit inside the gauge, it was too small and it went back into the water. If it was bigger, they kept it. And so I said to myself, self, a fully seated connector must have a fixed size. Can we make a gauge that could tell us if these things are fully seated? I talked to the manager. We talked to the operators. I said, yeah, that might work. We happened to be fortunate enough to have a 3D printer. In our facility. And I came up with this thing right here. About $2 American. Leaks went to zero. When the connector is properly seated, it fits perfectly inside this gauge. Okay? What was really cool was, in my industry, these are ubiquitous. And in our organization, they were all over as well. So all we had to do was run about 100 of these out, send them across our company, and leaks across the company associated with poor fitting connectors went to zero. The interesting thing was, you know what the number one factor was in leaks? Variable hand strength of humans. Okay. The thing we heard over and over and over was, it's really hard to get them fully seated. And having a second person come around behind them and check who might have similar hand strength wasn't going to detect it. Okay? So when we engage the people who do the work, we have a tremendous opportunity to learn from them. Okay? Help them by giving them what they need to be successful. Crab fishing and leaks. Okay, so in my organization, I set up an intranet page because I wanted to do some education and a little bit of advertising and get people in my organization interested in some of these ideas. And so one day, a colleague and I, we got a phone call from the folks who were working on our code of conduct education program. Immediately, I thought I was in trouble because I get in a little mischief every now and then, particularly on my webpage at work where I challenge the status quo a bit. But no, they said, you know, we're reading your page and we want to run something by you. We've been thinking about switching from a code of conduct based on compliance to a code of ethics. Because when we're thinking about code of conduct, what we've been kind of discovering is that we're just telling people what to do. But if we get people thinking about what the right thing to do is for the right reason, and we wrap this in an ethical framework, we get people doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do rather than it's the rule. And we think this hop stuff, we think it has some opportunity there. And so our code of conduct training switched to a code of ethics. And in 2020, for the first time, integrated human and organizational performance. Okay? And what was really neat about this was that it went out to all 80,000 members of the organization. Okay? Now, that's not to say that tomorrow and the next day we had this huge sea change and everybody wanted to do hop. But we got the conversation started and people started thinking about it. And that moved us forward. Our head of enablement and education and global sustainability had this to say. You know, the company wanted to be valued for the way that it did business. I mentioned the fact that we were switching to a code of ethics. They noticed how comfortably these principles of HOP fit into the ethics work they were doing, which was pretty compelling. And finally, I think one of the things that we can probably all recognize is that these HOP principles, once you understand them and really internalize them, you can't unknow this stuff. It sticks with you. Okay, dare I say, it almost becomes a duty. Finally, I'll leave you with this one. Learning differently changes accountability. So I'm going to tell you the Valve story very quickly. What I have circled here may be hard to see, but a maintenance worker was doing some work on a valve. This valve is held open under pressure, and when the pressure fails, the valve fails in a closed state. And so he was doing some work on this particular valve. He had his finger in the valve area. It failed closed. He lost a portion of his finger. And so when we finally had the opportunity to talk to him and understand what had happened, the first thing he said was, "What happened to me was absolutely my fault." Okay. So let's figure this out. Of course, there was your standard investigation report, and the direct cause was a lack of discipline to adhering to procedures. Okay. And then we said, well, let's look into this a little bit more. So we did this event and causal factor charting, and you know, ultimately what we found was a story that was very rich in context, a story about the fact that there wasn't a standard way of doing it, the fact that every maintenance technician had their own setup where they put the compressor to attach to the valve to apply the pressure to put it in an open state and do the maintenance, the fact that it's a two-person job and one person had to go get materials because all the materials they needed for the job weren't there at the time. And of course, they're on a schedule because it's manufacturing, so we've got to get back to manufacturing. And oh, by the way, this particular process is really nasty. It's hard on these valves, so they're constantly getting changed. Okay? So tremendous burden. And ultimately, the idea here is that when you engage and learn more and you learn differently, this idea of accountability changes from really an individual to the system. And I like this quote from Todd when he says, look, you know, fix the system, don't affix the blame, right? When we look inside this particular event, you see system failure upon system failure, okay? And so, unfortunately, my organization here learned the lesson the hard way, okay? So that's about all I have for you. I'd love to keep sharing, keep the conversation going. So you can find me on LinkedIn, grab me there, and get curious.
So if you take a listen right there, pretty impressive presentation, no doubt about that. So if you want to find out more about John Wilkes, as he does reference, go to LinkedIn and find out more about what's going on. Also, a lot of questions have been coming in lately about when is our next in-person event that is open to the public. Well, in September of this year, 2024, the 10th through the 12th, you can come and hang out with us in Santa Fe, New Mexico, with the Conklin Conference number 3. If you want to find out more information about what's going on, go to safetyfm.io. That's safetyfm.io for some more information about the event that will be happening in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And we'll be talking about human and organizational performance. Would love to see you there. Anyways, this has been Safety FM with Jay Allen featuring John Wilkes. Hopefully you enjoyed it here. And we'll talk next time. Bye-bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.